step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. The Madrid derby was lively, with the referee actively cheating for both sides at the same time. Atleti were furious about the missing penalty. Real Madrid were livid about the red card for Fede Valverde. Diego Simeone was just sad the Uruguayan centre-backs have gone soft. It's been reported that after their Champions League match against Newcastle, the Barcelona ground staff asked their players not to keep kicking the ball into the net because they can't afford to buy any new ones. One was enough as they met with tradition and clung on against Rayo Vallecano. 17 goals in 10 meetings against the only club that can make Barca boring. Otherwise, it was a thrilling weekend. 35 goals, and not all of them because of terrible defending. Sanchez Flores made history's best ever quadruple half-time substitution. The Alaves remontada, coupled with Marici's 92nd-minute missed penalty, means that Mallorca are in the relegation zone again. Yes, like the Beacons, ring the church bells. Elche won a match.
Yeah.
There was a stoppage time goal in Levante's game, but this time it didn't ruin their weekend, although we understand an arrest warrant has been issued for Oviedo defender David Costas. Athletic Club got a win, but are losing a coach. Ernesto Valverde will soon say farewell. And this being a podcast about Spanish football, there's no need whatsoever to talk about any of the results from the Premier League this weekend.
Particularly one in particular.
we'll do, if you want to hang on to the end, we normally do Terry's therapy session somewhere towards the end.
I'm nearly giving up. Just when I thought Atletico Madrid, that was good. We beat them, we drew at Liverpool, and I'm working yesterday and I'm keeping an eye on the score. I was doing the Barcelona Rayo Vallecano game and I was like, what? Surely not. And it just went from bad to worse.
Yes, yes.
Atleti anyway. Must be pretty poor if Spurs beat them.
we'll start. I think we'll start with the Madrid derby, and we will. Paul Campbell is one of our patrons. Patreon.com/LTEL if you want to join in. And like he said, he's an Atleti fan, Paul, and he goes to games and he's been in touch with us lots of times. You guys do a good job, he says, of keeping the podcast football related, but the Federation needs a mention this weekend. So it seems unavoidable to talk about them, the series of refereeing decisions. As ever, though, certainly with Spanish football, it's one of these ones where you come away both sides of a grievance, because the Real Madrid fans and everybody absolutely adamant it wasn't a red card for Valverde. The Atletico camp are saying, what about the penalty that they just seem to like
brush off,
ignore,
and the
foul count where the allegation was that the referee basically just had a different bar where he was giving a free kick.
Well, the stats on that probably do tell the truth, to be honest. It's 14-2 in favour of Real Madrid, only committed two fouls in the whole game. And one was a red card, one was a yellow card. So that's quite telling, to be honest. And it wasn't a particularly aggressive game. I didn't think Atleti, when you look at that and you look at that stat, you're thinking Atleti must have been kicking all over the place. It's a low foul count. I did a game, Levante Oviedo, which we'll talk about later, I've got some issues with. It was nearly 40 fouls in that game. So the fact there was only 16 given and 14 were in favour of Real Madrid is telling, to be honest. The big decisions, the Fede Valverde one is close. I think the sending off. I mean, it doesn't really make an attempt to win the ball. And it's not just a trip, it's a hack, isn't it? He has hacked at the legs of Alex Baena. There is an issue about history between those two. Isn't wasn't there a punch up in the car park?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's
I'm hoping
horrible.
the referee hasn't seen it as he's because of the two players involved. That it's
Yeah.
obvious that Fede Valverde, if he'd done that against Johnny Cardoso, I hope the referee would have come to the same conclusion, as opposed to he's done that on purpose because it's Alex Baena and because they've got history. I hope that's not the case. But I think that was a close one. I can understand Real Madrid supporters getting the ump with that decision. But I did feel the explanation that I thought was the one he gave to Arbeloa. He didn't make a clean attempt, obvious attempt, to win the ball. It wasn't a cynical pull of the shirt or a little trip. He did hack at him, and he wasn't near to getting the ball. Some angles it looks like he is, some angles it's clear that he isn't, and he's just hacking away at the ankle and the shin. So I get that's a close one. It could have gone either way. The penalty for Real Madrid, I can see why VAR doesn't turn that over. There's a tangle. I think Ansgo is foolish in getting too close and making that type of challenge.
Yeah, I think I agree. That's a penalty, and because he never got his balance back again. He got unbalanced by the first bit of movement, didn't he? And then he sort of has a lunge while he's off balance.
Yeah, it's a tangle. Yeah. It's a tangle and a lunge. You can block that as a defender, but you can block it half a metre away.
Yeah.
You know, he's attempting to block the cross. So once you get too close and your foot goes in and your legs go in and it's the right leg, it's the left leg, it's a bit of both, I think you're asking for trouble. If I was a coach of that team, I would be saying to Hans, try and avoid that. You know, in that position, he's hoping, Brahim Diaz is hoping that there's going to be a tangle. Wingers do that. They get to the byline, they drop the shoulder, they chop back when they're going to cross, they hope there's a contact. And don't oblige, don't give them that opportunity. Block the cross by all means, but block it from a distance where you're not going to get tangled up with the striker. So again, I think that was, once you see it, VAR's not going to turn that over. It would be impossible for VAR to turn that one over. And then we come to our old one that we've moaned about, that if a tackle like that happened out on the wing, it's a yellow card, possibly a red if there's enough force.
Right, let's go. Let's rewind and it's Marcos Llorente of Atletico breaks into the penalty area, gets a shot away.
Yeah.
But Lunin saves awkwardly and he has to he gets away from him and then he recovers and he gets it. And what the ref ignores, it's Carvajal, isn't it? Who comes across to make a block. But he absolutely, he clatters into it.
Exactly. And as soon as I saw it, I thought it's a penalty. And I had no doubt, 100%, because of the force of the challenge, he's blocking, he's trying to block the shot, Danny Carver. He's not gone in to foul him. He's tried to block the shot, but it's reckless. It's so much power and force in it as well. The shot goes under Lunin and goes towards the goal line, doesn't it? And he pounces and gets on the loose ball. But that's no reason for the referee then and VAR to ignore the fact that there's a late. You do it anywhere else on the pitch where you lay a ball off in midfield and someone clatters into you like that. It's a foul and a yellow card at the least. If there's enough force, which there was in that, it's a possible red. I was watching the television last night when I got back to the hotel. Programs can be a little bit biased towards Real Madrid. It was unanimous that it was a penalty. The debate was yellow or red. Hmm. They have a referee on there. One said red, one said yellow. But it was unanimous that it was a penalty. I couldn't believe that the director cut away from the action. Something else, they were focusing on something else. I was expecting to go back and see the referee going across to the bench and play had resumed quickly. It was absolutely ludicrous, that was. It was a terrible decision.
Agree. It's a penalty, isn't
it? I was thinking of you when it happened. I thought, our complaint. That's the John Driscoll decision. And I always agree with you. It's, as I say, if you were out on the wing and someone did that, then you're in trouble. It was a terrible decision.
Better at giving them, actually, that one, haven't we, in recent times.
We see it for crosses. Yeah. We see it now when someone's cut the ball back and someone slides in and takes them out and the referee goes back, even though there might have been a shot or a goal. The referee goes back and then we go, it's happened this season. And you go, that's the penalty there.
Yeah.
And this one was, I just don't understand how they can sweep that up so quick and go, play on, nothing to look at. But in a big game as well, I think they checked a handball, didn't they, against Giuliano Simeone in the first half. And that was done quickly, but they at least checked. It appears they didn't even check this one. Or apparently they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if they check it, it's a penalty. It's obvious it's a penalty. It's a foul. I mean, Llorente stayed down and just put his arms out as if to gesture, that's a penalty. I'm going to sit here for a second.
Well,
I need
actually,
to, because he'd been clattered into.
Yeah.
It wasn't just
hurt, wasn't it?
There was half a dozen times this weekend where a player sat on the floor. And they're looking like children now when they just sit there. And I'm not getting up. I'm not hurt, but I'm going to sit here till you look at the VR.
Yeah.
And but that one, it was he needed to regain his composure.
Because that's where he hurt his head, wasn't it? Because
it must have been. I mean, that
he
was
went
confusing.
Down and
yeah.
he sort of tumbled over and he went down and
yeah.
his head, I think. I think that's what happened.
And there was another one where they clattered into, but that was that they looked like two Hollywood stuntmen flying through the air and smashing into each other as well. But it actually irritates me that it annoys me, and I've got no, you know, I'm not in the game. It's Real Madrid, it's Atletico Madrid. I've got no stakes in it, but it annoys me how VAR can make that mistake when they're in the cold light of day, they're sitting in there, they're in front of their television, three or four of them, and they go, "Nah, carry on. He had his shot. What else
yeah.
does he want?"
I'm always
what the hell.
I'm in two minds sometimes about asking for more VAR because I'm against it and I think they intervene too much. But also they intervene on all sorts of stuff, like
yeah.
handball. There was one this weekend, so it's like a handball and it's all, you think, oh, I can't believe you're given that. It's ridiculous. And yet this one, you know, it's a big call and it's an obvious penalty, isn't it? Like,
yeah, and how three or four blokes in that,
yeah.
wherever they are in that booth in the studio, how one of them can't say, that's a penalty.
Yeah. Interesting, Simeone didn't make a fuss about it, did he, afterwards? But I get that. I like, because I don't like managers giving themselves the easy out all the time of blaming refereeing decisions. Because, for example, the Jimenez challenge, lack of challenge for Valverde's goal.
It's as much to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the defeat. Yeah, I think you have to be programmed as a manager and a player now. There still will be decisions that go against you.
Mm.
You hope they're not big ones in big games. So you have to kind of program yourself to that, to be honest. And there might be games where you think we should have won that and we lost. You have to program yourself against that. You have to weigh that in as a factor of how you move on to the next game that you play. So I guess Simeone has got to that stage in his life now where it's done. Mm. There's not a lot you can do. Make your official complaints. Go through the right channels and take it that way. Otherwise, you end up like Matias Almeida, who went berserk the other week and ended up with a 7-8-game ban, and it's ultimately it's cost him his job.
Mm.
We'll come to that later, but that was a giveaway there, wasn't it? spoiler alert. but I think Simeone is that stage in his life now where he can deal with it, and that will happen. Shit happens. That, you know, you will get decisions go against you, games go against you where you should win and you don't. And he's quite philosophical about it at the moment. But I don't know if he'll ever get over one of his warriors in Jose Jimenez doing that.
It's such a soft tackle, isn't it? And I think there is a bit of VAR in it. I do. And again, is that me just seeing VAR shadows?
Well, no, he was there. It wasn't even a tackle, John. He was there a yard before.
Yeah.
His mistake was trying to flick it to a teammate.
Yeah,
where he should have just kicked it out of play.
Yeah,
there was no. There was no jeopardy.
Nick it round him, doesn't he? And Valverde yeah. just sort of steams through him, doesn't he? And
yeah,
takes it and scores.
There was no yeah. jeopardy. There was jeopardy yeah. for Atletico's first goal for Rüdiger. There's a ball played by Lookman, and I was going to be critical of Lookman. It was the second time in 5 minutes. He had one against one and didn't take the defender on. And after having a fantastic start, I thought his form was tailed off a bit now. And in that case, it was the second time, and I was just going to hammer him. And he had one against Rüdiger, and he didn't want to take him on. And he played it to Ruggeri.
Mm.
And it was under hit. There was almost a chance for Rüdiger to get there and steal it. But because it was in the box, Rüdiger couldn't.
Mm.
So that's the jeopardy. There was no jeopardy for Jimenez. So Rüdiger didn't want to fly into the tackle. The cross is crossed, lovely flick from Simeone, good finish from Lookman. But, I didn't think there was any jeopardy. Jimenez can just clear that away.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to be concise and precise with a little pass in your own penalty area and make that risk. He wouldn't do it again. Jimenez is a strange player, though. I always felt he was better with older players.
Mm.
So Godin, particular. Since he's become the older player, I don't see him anywhere near the same player. It's just the personality is apparently he doesn't appear to be a leader. He's a player that likes to be led, and he likes that experience of. I mean, he was a fabulous centre back when he was playing alongside Godin, and one or two of the older players that were at the club. Since he's become older, and he's not an age now where he's a veteran by any means. I'm just going to check his age. He is. Bear with me. I've got it all written down here, and I can't see it. 31, I think, number two. Yeah, 31. So it's a good age for a centre back. Hans Kovacic was silly with his ch challenge as well. Maybe he's 28. He has been good. Maybe there's a reason why he was 28 and still playing for Feyenoord, if I'm being honest. I think Atleti lacks a little bit of energy in midfield. Cardoso isn't the quickest. He was under pressure when he got booked. I thought that sub should have been made at half time to put your empty midfield and take Cardoso off because he was scared to make a challenge. But it was a brilliant.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW, void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 21 plus.
Game. We're fortunate in La Liga, and I'm privileged to still be working on it regular. The big games deliver. I mean, that game yesterday was fabulous. The Clasicos have been great in recent seasons. It was a 5-2 victory for Atletico Madrid earlier on this season. We had the affair with in the Copa del Rey with Barcelona and Atletico Madrid in that one, a 4-3 aggregate for Atletico Madrid. Those big games deliver. We're fortunate they're not, cagey games. And, perhaps we're lucky to have an Atletico Madrid team that don't keep clean sheets anymore, do. I mean, the defensive record isn't terrible. It's not brilliant. It's not as good as in recent years. And you're reluctant to criticise them because you look in and you go, well, actually, they had a couple of goals worse off than Barcelona or Real Madrid, or it's very similar. But it's not the historically the levels that they've been in the past. But so we covered Atletico and Real were. Yeah, they were okay. I mean, they've still got players coming back from injury. I'm surprised Mbappe didn't start. Surprised Carreras didn't start. He hasn't been out for long, but Fran Garcia's been playing well. He remains loyal. I think there was only one change, wasn't there? Trent Alexander-Arnold out, Carvajal in. I don't think that weakens the team in any way, shape, or form. And rumours are that Trent Alexander-Arnold was left out as a punishment.
Oh, for being late, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the allegation. I don't know. I don't know what if it's true. I don't know if there was a reason for him being late, but he was left on the bench. Carvajal doesn't weaken it. Carvajal needs playing time. If Carvajal's up to speed, I think it makes Real Madrid a better team anyway.
So a couple of players we need to talk about. Molina, the best player in the world, Terry.
It's like a toddler who's just learned how to walk, and you can't keep them still. And then last week, when he hits that strike last week and against Getafe, and I'm, what? That was Molina. I mean, he was on the left last week and he strikes across the ball. And then yesterday, when he got it, I thought he's going to shoot again. And what strikes? And suddenly he's learned. I haven't had time yet to look at his history in terms of how many goals he's got, how many times he's done that. It was only his second goal this season, and they've both been unbelievable strikes. And it got him a place in the team against Spurs midweek and come off the bench yesterday and scores an incredible strike. I mean, Lunin and Musso in goal. I mean, they weren't at fault for any of the goals. We're talking about no Oblak, no Courtois, and there was nothing either goalkeeper could do about the goals, really.
We were just wondering. He's got eight. Actually, it's not the worst defense, attacking record. He's got eight in 80 starts and 34 sub for
Atleti.
Atletico. It's not bad, is it, for a
No.
fullback? We were talking about Courtois, and so you can't criticise Lunin for not saving it. Sometimes Courtois saves ones that you're not
I
expecting.
know, I know. There's always that jeopardy, isn't there? The Courtois got a tip on that, tipped it round the post. I don't
Who
know.
knows? Who knows? But when you've got a
It was
six foot
top in,
seven
though.
athletic bloke, he does make saves. There are
Yeah. That's the difference. I
That
mean,
you're
and
not
that's harsh
expected to be
on
made.
Lunin.
You're not as good as Courtois. It's
No.
not the worst criticism. Vinny. So it's a match-winning contribution. Obviously, the penalty he converts, and then the kind of goal that I want Vinny to score more. players of his ability score goals like that.
Yeah, but the last two games, I don't think he's been brilliant. Against Man City, he got two goals, but I thought he was one of the poorer players. He was wasteful on a few occasions. In this game, I thought he had a poor first half. He was quiet. He started brightly, and then Llorente was shutting him down all the time, and they were combining well. Juliano and Llorente on the right flank is formidable for Atletico Madrid, and they were shutting him out. But he's a classic Real Madrid player where he's got those moments, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. I was responsible yesterday for giving him the man of the match against public opinion.
All right, who did you go for? I can't remember.
Vinicius.
Right, okay.
I went for Vinicius. The public opinion was Fede Valverde. I thought, I can't give it to a player that's been sent off with 20-odd minutes to go.
So how does it work again? Tell us the process.
We have to nominate half-time to four players.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yes, very weird. I nearly put down Mbappe yesterday. Yeah. He weren't even on.
Yeah.
You're trying to predict in the future, in the second half, what could happen. And yesterday I'm looking and thinking, I think I went with Valverde and Tchouaméni.
Right,
at half time.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes into the second half, you get a choice to either change it. So then I put Vinicius in, looking at the time. Yeah, he scored in the 52nd minute. And I'm thinking he might get another one. So I took Tchouaméni out and put Vinicius in. I had, I'm trying to think who I had in the Atletico Madrid, Lookman, because he'd scored. And there was someone else. So it was two from each team. Yeah. And then I get a message at 85 minutes. Do I agree with the public vote of the last four? And it was unanimous for Fede Valverde.
Right. But you said you overruled.
I overruled it. I've only done it once before. I overruled
it. Terry.
And I thought, I can't reward a player. I thought
hacking someone getting sent off.
Yeah. And not playing the last 20 minutes either. I mean, it'd been different if they were 3 or 4 and they're up and you take the star player off. I get that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case yesterday. So I chose Vinicius. So Vinicius Jr. owes me a pint of Brazilian beer.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on and do Barcelona, shall we?
It's bizarre that I do it.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It really is. I mean,
so
it's live
the main
on
one. They asked the English COCOM to do them everyone's man of the match award.
And we see them get it after the game, and they're pleased, happy as Larry with their little trophy that Terry Gibson's given them.
Terry Gibson, he remembers you from your Wimbledon FA Cup win.
Doesn't even remember Wimbledon. It might associate it with tennis and Rafa Nadal, who was in the stadium, but he never heard of him. But Real Madrid, credit. I mean,
it's a big win.
They're digging in there. Big week. I didn't fancy them at all against Man City. I think when everyone's fit, I think I would think Real Madrid would be favourites, but everybody wasn't. You know, people were missing. Big players are missing for injury, and they were missing in this game. Great to see Bellingham back. They've kept themselves in contention in the Champions League, in La Liga, and the players are coming back. So it's going to be a big end to the season for Real Madrid.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to do Barcelona. We won't take too long on Barcelona. I mean, we discussed the seven that they scored against Newcastle. This was the second half against Newcastle. They were unplayable at times. I don't know, Newcastle contributed to it a bit, but Barca were unplayable. And then right after this effect, that stat again. So you said the Clásicos deliver. Terry, last 10 Clásicos, 43 goals. Last 10 meetings with Rayo Vallecano, 17 goals.
I know.
It's just like, oh.
And we have this in our head that they struggle at Vallecas against Rayo, like Real Madrid. That's a stadium where in the last decade those big clubs have struggled. But they struggle at home as well. And when you get the team sheet, my initial reaction, and it was I changed it within minutes. My initial reaction was, well, he's chucking this game away, as some managers do. They played Thursday night. I looked at the team and I thought, well, who's playing? First of all, I'm looking and thinking, well, who's playing centre back? Because there's only Lejeune. Obviously, it's going to have to be Pathesis, who occasionally plays there. And then I'm thinking, well, who's playing up front? Because there's no centre forward. There's not three wingers or five or six different attacking midfielders. And is it going to be Carlos Martin, who's a winger? Is it Issy Palazón going to play up front? Fran Perez, Pedro Diaz is a midfield player. I couldn't work out where they were going to play. So that was my initial reaction, but they never got a game for another week. So as it stood, they were 4 points above relegation. You can't throw games away. And then I thought, you know, he's a good manager. He'll have a plan. And the plan should have paid off with a point for Roe. In the second half, they had chances. Espino had a fantastic chance. They came close on other occasions. Jean Garcia clearly got man of the match, which I wasn't responsible for. And Barcelona were dreadful. Started brightly, but then it had that 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon feel. The sun was out. The crowd are enjoying being back in the stadium. It's getting more and more people every time they play there. It's looking more impressive. And it was almost an element of, well, we're going to roll these over from the players, from the supporters in general. And then I commented during the game, with about 30 minutes to go, I went, it's got pretty serious in here now. It was quiet, and there was apprehension, and it was a struggle for Barcelona. They were dreadful.
What are they going to do about a centre forward? Lewandowski, we saw against Newcastle. We saw classic Lewandowski. One of the goals he got against Newcastle, where he just made himself a little bit of room, a little shake of the hips, and it was brilliantly done, Lewandowski. But he's 37, and he went off at half time in this game. There's obviously, you know, when he's not necessarily coming to his end, but
When you're 37, you are.
But he could go somewhere else, I mean, and still have another season or two in him, I think.
At what level?
Saudi sort of thing.
MLS, Saudi. I wouldn't suggest a Premier League team or
you wouldn't.
La Liga team.
Messi now, I don't want Lewandowski to go into the Premier League when he's 37.
People
and
judge him.
Best. So, but what do they do about a centre-forward? They need a centre-forward, don't they?
Well, it was unwise. It wasn't wise to play him again yesterday, but the option was Ferran Torres. And I mean, he came in the second half and played scared. He kept the ball, played everything safe. A couple of chances he had where he could have run towards goal, had a shot and he passed it. He's just lost his confidence. And it is a problem. Rashford was really impressive when he came on. I think that he's worth a look at centre-forward. I think Lewandowski, they need to be careful with him, not because he'll break down through injury, but to play against Newcastle last weekend and then to go again. He's 37. He's super fit. He's always been in great shape and he's looked after himself. That's why he's playing at the age of 37 in La Liga for Barcelona. But they shouldn't have started him yesterday. He's a finisher. A couple of times yesterday he dropped off and did some nice turns and touches, but he's a finisher that needs service. And he didn't get any yesterday in the first half. Likewise, Ferran Torres didn't get much in the second half. Lamine Yamal wasn't at his best. Rafinha was far from his best. Quite bizarre watching Rafinha at the moment, because I thought, getting 5 goals in 2 games, how many goals do you need to get your confidence back in 2 matches? And yesterday he played like a player that didn't have any confidence. His passing was wayward. He wasn't as sharp with his winning the ball back quickly. He was off the pace. Pedri started really well, then kept getting dispossessed as well. Mark Bernal was okay. It was just a poor performance. Araujo gets the goal. I didn't realise that Barcelona had been so successful at set pieces this season. It's not unusual for them to score from a corner and a free kick. And that was the decisive action of the game. But other than that, they were poor. They're just short, I think, Barcelona. I think they're going to go close to winning the league. It's still a healthy gap. They've got a home Clasico to come. In general, they've been playing really well. But as you said, the first half against Newcastle, they were off the pace. Against Rayo for the whole game, they were off the pace. One or two issues at centre-back, one or two issues regarding the centre-forward. They clearly, they're positions that they need to strengthen in when they do get some money.
Yeah. So we'll just do the last one at the top end of the league. Villarreal beat Real Sociedad on Friday night by 3-1, all with a blast in the first quarter of the game. It was decisive.
They do this occasionally, Villarreal. And it's not one of those stadiums you go and you should be fearful of. It's not in a hostile territory. It's not a ground where you... But they set off like a house on fire and raced ahead 23 minutes, 3-0 up. Good goals as well. Gerard Moreno with the first. Mikel Tauzi is turning out to have a really good season. And Nicolas Pepe has been a good signing for Villarreal. So that... I was going to say that won them the game, as we see from another match. It wasn't won. Ralsus, they do get a goal back, but yeah, that was a surprising result, I have to be, bearing in mind how well La Real had been playing.
Yeah, although they've lost successive tough away games, which is a setback, isn't it? But it's all set up quite interestingly, that race now. There's a chasm now between fourth and fifth. After that, that European race, as it were.
And possible Champions League race.
Yeah, yeah, if they get the fifth place. After that very productive last round for Spain, they are now second in that.
Yeah.
So they would get the extra Champions League place as it stands, but we'll see. Shall we move on to the game that you foreshadowed already, Terry? Given that you've got to name your man of the match at half time, it's quite difficult.
I didn't in this one, thankfully.
Celta Vigo 3, Alaves 4.
Oh, no, yeah.
They were 3-0 up 37 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, that's it done. Alaves get one back in added time, and then another couple of relative. Then they get another one at 50.
Yeah.
And then they get, it's after that, isn't it, later on that they get the goal. And then Celta have four attempts from 96 minutes plus to get the equaliser, which they don't manage.
I would have predicted that Alaves had a chance of getting a draw.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
In this game, I think they're a little bit improvement under Kike Sanchez Flores. Caldet didn't get the sack, he went off to what he regards as an opportunity he couldn't turn down. So, anyways, I think they're not bad, but they're not great away from home. But I thought with Celta playing Thursday night away from home, I thought Alaves might have enough to scrape a 1-1 or something or hang on to a 0-0. When I see them 3-0 down, I'm thinking, oh, I've got that wrong. And then the next thing you know, it's 3-1. Is there such a thing as... I've never heard anyone say before, 3-0 is a dangerous lead, like they do when it's 2-0. And the kind of... anyone would take a 3-goal lead. But 3-1, you think, okay, 3-2, we're in trouble now. Some cracking goals in that as well. Too many to go through in the podcast and to actually sit down and watch again and go, Juklic, that was a good goal. That was a good goal. Tony Martin has got a couple of good goals. Some dreadful defending, particularly from Celta, with regards to some hesitant defending with the goalkeeper and allowing the attacking players to get into good positions. And it was a thrilling match. And much needed win for Alaves. And not only just the 3 points, the manner of doing it, with a recently new manager, that's going to give them such a boost. I don't know what their next game is. I haven't been able to check that yet. They'll be hoping, it's obviously, I think, going to be a home one.
Yeah.
They'll be hoping to, the last thing they need is, Real Madrid or Barcelona away, where you come off the back of that, and all of a sudden you go, God, we're probably not going to win that one.
Osasuna at home on the Sunday night.
Ideal.
When we're back, yeah.
That'd be ideal for them.
Yeah. The Thursday night is an interesting one, isn't it? I can't back it up with stats. None of the Thursday night clubs won this round of games. It seems... That does seem quite tough, having to then play the weekend.
Especially if you played away.
Yeah.
Mm. Or if you've got an away game. Not so bad in La Liga if you've been at home on Thursday, like Betis, and then you have to go to Bilbao to play Athletic Club. Celta were in France. It was a massive journey. But yeah, and generally those teams that play in the Europa League and the Europe Conference League are not the ones, Champions League squads. You know, they haven't got loads of players. So hence the reason, it makes life difficult for Celta and Betis, who hope to be in the Champions League in the near future. And then they'll have to invest money. So even though it's Tuesday and Wednesday games, that's when you have to start dipping in and spending some money and adding to the squad. I mean, Betis has got a decent-sized squad, important players missing through injury, but not enough where Pellegrini can rotate on a Thursday night or rotate on the Sunday and get away with it. So it is tough on those teams.
Yeah. So let's do Betis while we're on. So they lost away to Athletic Club. Fornals it's got a cracking goal, didn't he? Actually, Danny Vivian's got a long range goal. There was some really You do get good goals in La Liga, don't you? And yeah. And it's a lovely move for Athletic's second goal, wasn't it? The one that Sunset finishes, and they yeah. think it's offside, but it's not. The movement is all perfect, isn't it? Valverde out. We can't say we're surprised. We discussed it, didn't we?
With yeah, we predicted it.
Yeah, it's the end of a cycle, really, it feels like. And I think that's what he said, basically.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what he does. I hope that's because he disappeared after the Barcelona job, didn't he? And he was quite choosy with what job he wanted in the future. He's done some of those other jobs in La Liga, and I think he managed in Greece as well, didn't he? And yeah, back to Athletic Club.
Yeah.
So I hope we still see him pitch up somewhere. Yeah. I've always thought he was a good candidate for a Premier League job.
Yeah.
Whether he feels that his age is keen on that or not, I don't know. He's seemed to, as I say, when he disappeared after Barcelona, it was his choice. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in the future. But it is the end of a cycle. There's a glass ceiling, isn't there, sometimes at Athletic Club. They've got always got loads of players coming through, but he must be sitting there during the last couple of years thinking, if I only had a bit of money to go out and buy this player or that player and compete for that player. I know it's not the system, I know it's not the tradition, but there must be a source of frustration for an elite coach that's it.
I do sort of think that means that puts you on a cycle, because I'm not normally in favour of sacking coaches. I normally think clubs sack far too early and often just sack someone off the back of a couple of bad results and a bit of bad luck and get you the sack. But yeah, for that club, I do sort of think they get worn out. Some interesting candidates linked with it. It's an interesting challenge for a coach, isn't it? If you fancy, if you're Roberto De Zerbi, I saw him being linked with it. If you fancy yourself as like, I'm the coach's coach.
Yeah.
Right, go and do it.
And Nico Perez must be a candidate.
Yeah.
Iraola must be a candidate.
Would Iraola go? Because he's, I think he
could. It means so much to them.
Yeah.
Those best boys, it does.
He's still young though, isn't he?
Yeah. Man, it's not a job for an old man though. It's definitely not one of those jobs, but it's not like a national team job. I think we will never appreciate how much it means to them to play for that club, the best boys, and to play and to manage the club. They don't have to have a best manager. So it's going to be interesting to see. They would be two popular choices, wouldn't they? And Iraola, you say, could do it later, but he could go there and come back again to the Premier League.
Yeah.
At some stage, if that was the case. So, I mean, he's a very young coach. If not, Nico Perez shown me he can do it right.
Yeah. I think if I was putting money down, I'd go, I think, in Nico Perez. I think would be where I'd put my money. Right, while we're talking managers, we might as well do Sevilla 0, Valencia 2. It would seem, I mean, there's nothing from the club, but Matias Almeida, the reports say, is getting the sack after Sevilla's latest defeat. I mean, the stadium is empty.
Yeah, and non-stop crying for people to leave and people to go. And I couldn't understand who they were. I'm guessing that they were the manager and the board. It's turning toxic at the moment. It's not pleasant. And they're in trouble. I mean, they're 3 points above the relegation zone. 3 or 4 weeks ago, they were putting together some good form. And I thought they were going to steer well clear of it. Like one or two other clubs, to be honest. But they're firmly in the Maya now in terms of the relegation issue. As I say, 3 points ahead of Mallorca. It's a problem for Sevilla. And Luis Garcia Plaza is the one that's been... Now, he wouldn't have got the Sevilla job 5 years ago. But he's probably the sort of candidate that they need to keep them up, first and foremost. And then I hope in the summer something happens with the club. You know, someone else comes in and...
The Ramos consortium are still there, aren't they? They're still talking to them. I think I haven't heard anything.
It all depends on the relegation, doesn't it? I guess. So I hope that Sevilla, we get to see. I see players playing for Sevilla now. I'm thinking, you know, they wouldn't have got anywhere near it.
Yeah.
5 years ago, 10 years ago, and we need a vibrant Sevilla.
Yeah, we need a vibrant Valencia as well. Yeah. I mean, this is the two fallen princes, this game, isn't it? Valencia, Sevilla and Valencia.
And Valencia was so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, Almeida's going to get a sack, not just because of the defeat, but team selection. Acre Adams wasn't playing. He was playing really well. He was on the bench. And you're thinking, well, why is he on the bench? There's an international break coming up. They haven't had a European match. Why did he make that change? And why did he make this change? Kind of set himself up for criticism if they didn't win. It's one of those. If they win, he's right. If you lose and you ain't picked this player and that player, you're going to have a problem. And they did. And that's probably played a part in... I'm pretty convinced. I heard the news last night that he was going to get the sack. Read this morning that it was imminent, and I think this is going to happen. And it's a shame because up until recently, I think we were all agreeing that under the circumstances, he was doing a decent job. He looked a good coach. He had a good style of play for this current crop of players. They were hard to beat. They weren't scoring a lot of goals, but they haven't got great goal scorers. And he was doing okay, and he was doing as well as could be expected, to be honest. But in recent weeks, that's really gone off the boil.
Yeah, and didn't do his future employment prospects many favours, did he, with the with the loss of head?
Still in the ban, isn't he? He's not been on the bench.
Yeah, so presumably that is still hanging over him, I guess. I guess he can't get sacked to get out of it. So there, yes. So there, that's the
I don't know. What happens if he goes to another country, gets a job in South America or something? I guess it's in La Liga, man.
I guess so. I guess unless you could ask for, because if a player carries a ban from a country to a country, doesn't he? I guess
I don't know.
I don't know. I think you do.
Another law that I'm not sure of that we'll come to in a minute when we discuss another game.
So let's go. We'll go back down. Well, back down the league. Sevilla is a relegation battle.
Yeah. It?
So let's do Elche with their famous win, the first of 2026. Against Mallorca, so a huge game this one.
Both teams
2-1. I think a terrible penalty awarded in ends up being a stoppage time penalty. Then Marici then skies it over the crossbar, having missed a great chance earlier in the game. I mean, he's been the lifeline for Mallorca, but he could have cost them. Big
yeah, time. I mean, he's hit and miss with the penalties. If I was Marici and that big and strong, I'd go for power and just take a normal, proper penalty, particularly in those circumstances. But every now and then he digs out kind of Panenka, which this was. At first, I thought he's just ballooned it over the bar, but I think he's attempting a Panenka and chipping it down the middle, and it goes over the crossbar. And as a coach, what do you do to a player that's got 18 goals this year and got pretty... You can't go in and lambast him in front of his teammates and say, if you ever do that again, you're not playing for this club. I was surprised Marici chose that technique in those circumstances. The type of technique you use when you're 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go or something and you clip it down the middle, but that was costly for Mallorca. Elche, six changes from the team that I was so critical when they played Real Madrid. I was critical of their start of play. I wasn't in the first half of the season, and this performance was just like that. They played with purpose, but with possession-based football. And in recent months, there's been no substance to their game. And they've got good strikers, and they if they give them service, Andre Silva, Rafa Mir, Alvaro Rodriguez, if they give them service, they'll score goals. And in this game, it took them to go a goal behind, though, to get the comeback going. And fabulous to see Tete Morente, who left the club, came back, hasn't had much of an impact because he hasn't played much. What a super header to get the winning goal. Let's see what that does for Elche now and what they can do in the... Because the first half of the season, they were really good. Drew too many games, but they were good. And out of the three that got promoted, they clearly looked the favourites to stay up. And all of a sudden, they got on this 11-game run of not winning a match, losing confidence, but hopefully that will give them a boost at getting the win against Mallorca. And it was a six-pointer as well.
Another six-pointer. Levante, 4. Real Oviedo, 2. And there's a lot to unpick with this one, Terry.
Yep, I've got a lot of homework for a game between these two teams that I've done after this match.
Yeah. So there's the issue that you're unhappy with, and the one I referenced at the beginning, which is David Costas, that... The defender, so he plays for Oviedo, 4 minutes, that fourth minute of the game. The most inexplicable bit of defending I've seen it. What on earth?
Well, let's describe it. It's a ball pumped forward that's easily going towards the centre half. A young, enthusiastic Carlos Espi is chasing a bit of a lost cause. And Costas just steps back as if he doesn't go towards the ball. And he's clear favourite to get there, but it almost stops. And Carlos Espi just thinks, oh, I'll have some of that, and just knocks it past him. Lovely finish. to curl it in as quickly as he did against Escandé. He just curls it in quickly, takes it really early, catches the goalkeeper out. But, oh, criminal defending. Whoever lost this game was relegated, in my opinion. And I don't see that changing. I mean, you're looking at teams that have barely won a game of football this season. And now they've got to suddenly win half of the games, the nine that are left. They've got to win five out of the nine games left to have any chance of staying up. So I think that was, for Oviedo, I think there was a recognition after the game there. You could see how dejected they were. It wasn't just because they'd lost the game of football. It was because they probably do feel that it is their last chance of salvation.
Yeah, and Levante had conceded in the 94th minute of consecutive games. They were winning both of them, weren't they, until the 94th minute. So they had this run of four games where, and we picked this out in advance, this was their chance. So when they're looking as if they were adrift, we're like, no, there's four effective, six-pointers.
Winnable games.
In 4 weeks.
I mean, they blew this one. They didn't they didn't blow it up at the end. They blew it up just before half-time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, literally, Oviedo had three, four good minutes in the game and scored two goals. So you're going in at half time. Kaczespi's got two. A 6 in 4 games he's got for Levante. And if you add up the total of their scorers, Ivan Romero, Kaczespi, Ettore Young, it's a decent, because they only ever play with one up front, as they're sort of heading towards 15 goals between the three of them. He's the man who's got possession of the jersey at the moment, and he's 20 years old. I picked him out quite a while ago against Sevilla. He came off the bench and scored, but he's gone on this run of form. And they were totally in control. And you're looking and thinking, Oviedo were warming up all their subs, and you're thinking they're going to make three.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Changes at halftime. How they're going to get back into this game? All of a sudden, Ilias Chara scores a header in the 43rd minute, and then they get a penalty, and Fede Vienes tucks that away, and it's only 2-2. And you're thinking, Levante literally have got to go and win this game all over again. Mm. And then we had a second half of which that Levante won. They deserve to win. As I said, Oviedo had 5 good minutes in the game. Iker Lozada scores a goal. Then he comes off with a head injury. Ivan Romero tucks away a goal in the 92nd minute. It was probably a fair reflection. It was a 2-goal win for Levante at the very least. But I have a big issue with this game. And it's, we had a head injury with Iker Lozada. It wasn't an obvious one. He suddenly went off. He was holding his head, dizzy. There must have been a knock that we hadn't seen. And then we allowed, in the second half, 12 substitutions in 7 different windows. I didn't realise, you mentioned earlier about a lot of game that you wasn't sure of about the bans. I didn't realise there was an extra window applied when there's a head injury. I knew there was an extra sub, because sometimes that happens and you go, hang on, they've used all 5 subs. And you assume there must have been one of those changes, must have been through a head injury and both teams agree and they can make the extra substitution. So we had a break, 7 sub breaks in one half of football. On the 60th minute, the 63rd minute, the 69th, 74, 79, 83 and 88. We cannot be stopping a game of football 7 times. And we cannot be having 12 new players in one half of football. It's just no need. And literally, I'm amazed 2 goals were scored in the second half, because literally we had no football. Nothing could happen. And I just can't get my head around that. I know the 5 sub rule came in COVID. I actually think 5's too much. I get why we went down that road, because the big clubs have got bigger squads. They've got bigger benches. It's another advantage they have over teams that don't have the money to have a fabulous bench with 10 or 11 or 12 players on it, whichever league you're playing in. And I just felt in this game, and everything now, well, 63 minutes later, more changes. 6 minutes, no more changes. Another 5 minutes, more changes. Another 5 minutes, more. Another 5 minutes. And it was literally every 5 minutes the game was stopping for changes. Forget the fact that you're writing down 12 different
names. Annoying when you're a commentator.
As a commentator and a co-commentator, and you go, oh.
Especially doing it off when you're not there, and sometimes they miss them, and sometimes some bloke's running around.
Two coming up once, or three coming up once, and you, oh, missed that one.
Yeah.
And you end up then looking online even though you're trying to be pretend you're there and you've got your eye on everything. But it's just the fact that the game was stopped is can be stopped so many times. So in the whole second half, seven substitute windows. We had 8 minutes added on. We could still be there now if you applied the proper time allocated for subs going on, coming off, two goals, injuries, nearly 40 fouls. So it's amazing that there's any action for us to talk about, to be honest. I just think from a neutral, Levante, they're happy to keep stopping the game. They're leading. For a Levante fan, they just want the win. They don't care. They'll put up with 8 minutes added on. I would rather see the ball in play in the 45 minutes allocated as opposed to adding 10 minutes on and 8 minutes on and 9 minutes on. And probably if we're doing it that way, sometimes that's not enough. It could be more. It could be, Quique Sánchez-Flores moaned last week that in total it was 19 minutes added on in a game of football. You're almost playing extra time, a period of extra time, without realizing it. And is there the COVID rules? It was brought in through COVID. I'm just not sure it's going to be interesting in the World Cup, how it's going to be used and stuff like that. I just think 12 new players in one half of football and seven stops just for subs, let alone throw-ins and corners and free kicks and treatment for injured players. It's just, it's
Too much. And
can't go
there's a
too much.
danger that the football authorities have lost track of the fact that it's entertainment. And just because Jurgen Klopp has a cry about, poor old, and all the big clubs do it, and they're constantly demanding the rules are changed in their favour, constantly moaning about stuff, oh, too many games. Well, it's your people who are forcing the games.
If you want the
That's where the
money that
game.
comes with extra games.
That's where the games come from. It's because the people who run your clubs are demanding more and more. They demanded all those extra Champions League games.
Club
They're the
World
one.
Cups and Super Cups and abroad and stuff like that.
So, and then we all have to watching. I think sometimes a diminished product. I mean, there's loads of things that improve about football as you go on. So, I don't want to be like some old dinosaur, but you've got to be conscious that, I mean, VAR's a terrible thing for entertainment purposes. Constantly stopping and checking whether a bloke did that just flick off his hand or not.
I mean, Levante and Oviedo, six subs each. They're not in Europe. They've got a ton of players away on international duty. I just get the feeling sometimes managers just have to use all five. In this case, oh, we can use six. And it kept it. I mean, Levante got the win. They're delighted. Fans are delighted. I'm the only one probably moaning because I'm neutral and want to watch a game of football. And it was a good game, but it cannot be a fluent game when it's broken up seven times in one half of football.
Espanyol 1, Getafe 2. So Espanyol remain, what are we, the 23rd of March, and they have not won a game in 2026 so far. And they were done a couple of set plays right at the end of the first half, wasn't it? Two in
Dropped to
just half added
11th
time.
as well now. Every week goes by, they're slipping and sliding, and that I've got them above my relegation candidates by 2 points. So I've still got Valencia in the bottom relegation because it's 7 points. It can turn around in a week.
But if
Valencia can
I.
lose, Mallorca can win, suddenly Elche get a win, and you go, oh, we're only 3 or 4 points above.
If
Eight
I
games to
offered
go.
you, if I was a bookie and offered you a price on who's going to finish higher in the league, Espanyol or Valencia, what would you say?
Well, it's close, isn't it now? Even with Espanyol with 2 point advantage, if 2 months ago it was out of the question, wasn't it? Now I don't know. So I've got Valencia on 35, my cut-off point. Girona 34. Bearing in mind, Mallorca on 28. So 7 point gap, as I say, 1 week that can be turned around to 4 points, and then you might be playing someone that's you might be playing Mallorca, and they catch you again and stuff. So an Espanyol on 9 clear. They're level with Osasuna. They're below Athletic Club. They're below Getafe. The winners of this game are fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, 38 points. Winning game after game after game. They're in a Conference League position if La Liga get the fifth place Champions League spot. I had them down as favourites to get relegated before the transfer window opened. And I think I was right. But they signed four or five players, and it's just totally transformed the team. So yeah, Domingos Duarte, I like Aaron Barry's finish. He's on the floor, isn't he? And it tangles up, and he could easily have missed that. He finished that. Roberto Fernandez gets a goal back, but it was borderless with a red card as well.
Yeah, I don't really know what for.
No, couldn't really see a major controversy.
Just for being borderless. I'm all for that.
Borderless,
So Espanyol's fixtures after the break are Real Betis away, Barcelona away, Rayo Vallecano away. Not sure why that little run happens. Then they've
yeah.
got a massive six-pointer by then, I would say, against Levante. And then they're at home to Real Madrid. Then they've got Sevilla. So, right, if you say, right, they're losing all the games, say if they lose against all the big teams in that
They're in
run.
trouble.
And then those two six-pointers then, as they
Yeah.
would be against Levante and Sevilla, are enormous, absolutely
Yeah.
enormous. And then they finish with Athletic Club, Osasuna, and Real Sociedad. Those sort of games against teams that are safe might be the ones that
Yeah.
you end up winning. But I don't know. At the
Yeah.
moment, Espanyol don't beat anybody,
But
I tell
Athletic
you.
and Osasuna might be fighting for Europe.
Yeah. Osasuna got a 1-0 against Girona. No prizes,
Who
everybody.
scored?
Who scored? Yes. How many is he
And you,
on?
if you haven't seen it, you know what type of goal it is.
Yeah,
It's
Budimir's. That's his
Budimir.
only 14th league goal of the season, though. He hasn't got
Yeah.
as many as Marici, and Marici's the villain of the piece this week.
Yeah. But
Yes.
it's a good bet to think it. And they missed loads of chances, Osasuna.
Yeah.
And you could see Alessio Lisci under a little bit of pressure. That eases their relegation issue. I mean, they're on 37 points, same as Espanyol, but they're winning the odd game here and there, so they'd be fine. But you could tell the manager the way he celebrated. They've missed chances, quite a few. Victor Muñoz in particular, who's just been called up by the Spain squad. When he celebrates the goal, that's relief, knowing full well that his job isn't secure. It probably is. If they stay around this position in the league, he'll be okay. He's a young manager, but they sacked Vicente Moreno after one season and they just missed out on Europe. So you could see he's feeling the pressure, and Budimir ease that pressure for him with his usual goal.
Yeah. Victor Munoz in the squad. Barinachea gets a call up. Christian Mosquera, the Arsenal defender, and John Garcia, all in the Spain squad, which is not playing Argentina because of the cancellation of the Finalissimo in slightly strange circumstances. I know, there's a war going on, so they couldn't play it in the Middle East, but there are plenty of football grounds that they could have
Yeah,
found.
no.
But
And most of the Argentinian players are based in Europe.
yeah.
I think they wanted it. The debate was in Europe or in Argentina.
Yeah.
They didn't fancy playing in Europe, which would have saved most of their players travelling, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
And the Argentina fans go everywhere, so
Yeah.
wherever in Europe it would have been popular.
Yeah. And it's a shame. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there we are. Right. So that is the international break, everybody. It is the proper business end of the season when you get back from the
Yeah.
international break. I will officially use the
I
word
think we've got another
business
weekend
end.
off in La Liga as well for the Copa del Rey final.
Oh, right, on the 18th.
Yeah.
18th, that weekend.
I was
Yeah,
looking at
yeah.
the second division fixtures this week. They actually finish at the minute. They're going to be finishing about the quarterfinals of the World Cup, I think, this year. The last round of fixtures in the second there is the last weekend in May. So then we got the playoffs. So I
Yeah.
wasn't joking that the World Cup will be underway. There probably will be players missing the playoffs who are at the
Yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah, because everyone goes to the World Cup now. 48 countries in the World
Exactly.
Cup. So,
So
yeah.
the second at the High Promotion League is going to. I mean, I'm sure Stuani's missed it in the past when he's gone off with Uruguay to a World Cup and Girona were in,
Yeah.
a team he
It's
was playing for.
baffling. It's as
And I don't
baffling
get
as.
it. It's the same amount of games that they never seem to play midweek. I don't get that. Surely, as a collective, the teams could say, well, none of us are in Europe. We haven't got millions of international players. They play during the international break as well. So there's games next week. So why can't we have like half a dozen midweeks and finish the season a month earlier and give whichever team goes up? In this case, it was Oviedo. Oviedo ended up with three managers this season, got rid of 20 players, brought in 20 players, and they had no time to prepare. They literally had a month before the season started. After getting promoted, and that's going to be the case this year with the second division. So whoever gets promoted in the playoffs, I'm not joking. But the World Cup will be underway, and it's not going to be a huge draw in a World Cup year in Spain to go, oh, World Cup's on. I'm going to watch the playoffs between Eibar and Malaga.
Yeah. No, it's baffling. It's as baffling as the non-penalty for Marcos Llorente.
But we are definitely, you're right, it's the business end of the season now coming up.
Yeah. So there we are. We'll be back with that. We'll do something for patrons in the meantime. Everybody else, we will see you. I think if I'm right, it's going to have to be the 7th of April. Oh, it's a long way away, isn't it? Right. Okay. So we'll see you for that. Enjoy the international.
We've got the trilogy coming up as well, haven't we? The Barcelona, Atletico Madrid.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Trilogy. La Liga, two Champions League games.
That is the business end of the season. That is next. And we'll see you for that. Bye bye.
Here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.